We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. From the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios. Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dano Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is!
The Alex Dano Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We are streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com, TuneIn Radio app, Radio.com app, however you listen. We appreciate your patronage here tonight. And man, I'm so excited for tomorrow, a little over 24 hours away. Number 7, Miami. Number 3, Notre Dame. One of my favorite rivalries in the history of college football. We get a taste of that old school rivalry tomorrow with both of these teams being relevant. Both of these teams being in the college football playoff hunt. And so, you know, we had to bring on a great Hurricanes alum who was a part of that rivalry in the 1980s. Alonzo Highsmith joins us here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Alonzo, are you as excited as I am for tomorrow night, my friend?
You know what? I really am. I've been waiting for this game for a long time. And the aspect that both teams are relevant. So I think when Miami's good, when Notre Dame's good, I think it's good for college football. We know what the SEC is. We know what the Big Ten is. But to have two schools like Miami along with Clemson out of the ACC, I just think it makes college football that much more relevant.
With that said, Alonzo, have you heard some of what Paul Feinbaum has said this week about, oh, Miami football not mattering whether they're relevant or not? You hear stuff like that. Well, how do you feel?
Coming from Paul Feinbaum, it doesn't mean much. I mean, I just know him as that bald-headed guy on TV that talks about college football. You know, his opinions, you know, he called Miami a dumpster fire. He gets paid to speak, and that's all I know about the guy. You know, what he means to college football or whatever it is, I have no clue.
The great Alonzo Highsmith is joining us here on WQAM. And, you know, Alonzo, over the years, over the decades, University of Miami has had plenty of football rivalries, including, of course, Florida State. And Florida used to be a bigger part of Miami's schedule than it is today. But what was it about Notre Dame? What was it about that rivalry that was different from the others?
Well, I think what made that rivalry special was the fact that it's Notre Dame. The allure, the history of Notre Dame, the Heisman Trophy, the Air Prestigeon, the national championships, the Four Horsemen. Notre Dame has always been looked at that as one of the Jerusalems of college football at one point. And, you know, when you played them when I was in the 80s, you know, I didn't know much about Notre Dame, but I knew a lot about Notre Dame. I didn't know about their players, but I knew about the history of college football, but also knew that in the 80s, we were much better football team, man to man, better than Notre Dame.
What was Jimmy Johnson like Notre Dame week leading up to that? Because it seemed like Jimmy had as much of a spark and as much hatred for Notre Dame than anybody did back in those days.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's the fact that, you know, Notre Dame is Notre Dame and only special people go to, you know, you hear the story about Notre Dame, only special people coach at Notre Dame, only special players go to Notre Dame. So you know, it's kind of like a kid from a middle-class school going up against a big-time private high school. You know, you want to lay the wood to them. You want to play them. You want to beat them. You want to show them that you belong too. And I think Notre Dame was good for Miami, and Miami was good for Notre Dame at the same time. But probably Notre Dame was better for Miami than the opposite, because we knew by beating Notre Dame, it would put us on the map. Notre Dame's always a team that's, if they're even half good, you know, even if they're an average football team, they're going to be ranked in the top 20. And when people think they're a pretty good football team, they're going to be ranked in the top 10. That's the allure. That's the history of Notre Dame. And, you know, so I think Jimmy Johnson took all that into account and, you know, and made us realize that this game was special. You know, it might not be for the national championship, but it's going to mean something towards a national championship in the future. So we're always ready to play Notre Dame.
University of Miami Sports Hall of Famer Alonzo Highsmith joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Is there anything you can pinpoint, Alonzo, as your best memory from a Notre Dame game from that rivalry?
I would probably say the year 1984. I think I scored four touchdowns up there, but it wasn't
for you.
Four touchdowns. I think it was the fact that when we came on the field, we were warming up. And the Notre Dame, they do some type of lineup where the fans line up on the field and the players run through it. Well, we were warming up, and they kind of ran through us. You know what I mean? And I don't know if people remember this, but there was a fight in the tunnel that game, and it was all sparked because of that.
Oh, man. Were you, when the fight broke out, where was Alonzo Highsmith? Were you trying to get into the thick of it, or were you trying to stay away from it to protect those legs of yours?
No, I was kind of throwing punches from the back of the room. You know,
yes.
I was watching. I wasn't really sure what the commotion was. It was Julio Cortez. I think Julio Cortez popped Alan Pinkett's brother right in the face or something like that. And a little brouhaha broke out, and shouting, and they were pushing us in the locker room. So it was one of those fights that was over before it started, you know?
I do.
But it lingered on for years. You know what I mean? Well, you know, guys remember that kind of stuff. And, you know, and then when we played them in the Orange Bowl in, you know, 1985, I think it was, Jerry Faust's last era, the era of Jerry Faust's last year, you know, we wanted to beat them. I mean, they're still Notre Dame, man. You know, and that's what I was telling my son and all these young guys at Miami, that, you know, Miami's had so much success that these teams circle that date on their calendar when you play you. You may not be as good. You may not be whatever it is. But whoever you're going to play, you're going to get their best. And you know what? And that's what happens. It's a burden. Sometimes it can be overbearing sometimes, because when you're not as good as some of the teams, they still get up for you like you are the national championship. And that was the burden of being, you know, being part of Notre Dame, being part of that history, that, you know, people want to beat you.
You know, Alonzo, I consider you, you know, a pioneer of Miami football. You arrived at the U in 1983. This was, you know, before they had won a national championship. Howard Schnellenberger brings you in. You're a Dade County kid, Columbus High School. But, you know, you were part of building Miami's reputation as a powerhouse. When you were in high school, when you were growing up in this area, at what point did the idea of playing football at the University of Miami become cool?
Well, you know, it's funny, because I grew up in Montreal, Canada. I moved to Miami when I was about 11th grade in high school, and I had never heard of the University of Miami.
Oh, wow.
Until I got to Miami. And my mom and dad went to Florida A&M, and I remember my mom telling my dad in the kitchen one day that, hey, Florida A&M beat University of Miami. So they were proud Florida A&M alumni, and that's all I remembered about the University of Miami. But what piqued my interest was, I believe it was 1981, I was in the Orange Bowl. I was a junior at Columbus High School. And the coach, you know how they take high school kids to the games and stuff like that. It was Miami versus Florida. And I was sitting in the stands. It was my first American football game. First college game I've ever gone to. And I was just sitting there. It was University of Miami versus Florida. And I didn't even know who the University of Florida was, really. I knew who they were, but I didn't know who Miami was playing. And I saw a team coming out of the tunnel out of smoke. And there were 71,000 people in the Orange Bowl. And I said, man, that is cool. And I think at that moment, I wanted to be a Hurricane. And then by the time my senior year came and I was being recruited by everybody and everyone was telling me, Alonzo, they told my parents, if you go to Miami, you'll never play in a bowl game. You'll never have a chance to win a national championship. But listening to Howard Schnellenberger, he told me my freshman year, you know, I was one of the top five kids in the nation being recruited and could have went anywhere I wanted. And Melvin Bratton was recruited highly. Jerome Brown was recruited highly. Winston Moss was recruited highly. Brian Blaze was recruited highly. Daryl Fullerton. All of us took a visit at the same time, and we all clicked together. It was the strangest thing in the world that when we got there, like, if you saw one of us, you saw 20 of us on our recruiting visit. And when we all left the recruiting trip, I kind of narrowed it down to Florida, Florida State, or Michigan. That was kind of where I was going to go. And me and Melvin started talking on the phone one day, and, you know, we were all saying, you know what, you can go to Florida, you can go here, but you know what, we got a chance to build something here in Miami. And Coach Schnellenberger told us, he said, if your class in 1983, if you guys come here, I'll never forget him telling me this, Howard Schnellenberger. He said, if you guys come here, we will dominate college football.
Wow.
And really, that's all it took for me. I thought it would be cool to be part of something brand new, something special, and a chance to build something and be part of history. And basically, me, Jerome Brown, went Melvin. We all got on the phone, and Melvin was popular up on the north side of town, and you know, I was on the south side of town, and Brian Blades and those guys are Fort Lauderdale. So each recruit who was recruited by Miami who played a significant role in the future came from a different segment of Miami and South Florida and Dade County. So I think each of those little pieces added something for the future. And, you know, Coach Schnellenberger was right. But lo and behold, 4 years, one national championship, played for three national championships, and the rest is history. And it's all because of those words Howard Schnellenberger said.
I'm glad it worked. I think I can speak for every Miami fan in saying that I am glad you chose the U and every member of that recruiting class chose the U, because that was really, in many ways, that was the start of history to where we are today.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Also, I think you got to give credit to Howard Schnellenberger. You got to give credit to Jim Kelly. You got to give credit to Jim Burke. You got to give credit to all those guys who sustained this program when it wasn't the Miami we know it as after the national championships. And this program was built on the back of those guys, because there was a time Howard Schnellenberger told me they wanted to drop football in Miami. But because of Jim Kelly and Tony Fitzpatrick and, you know, Rocky Bellinger and all these type guys, the program was able to sustain. And then we got some strong recruiting classes in the early 80s. And then the recruiting classes continued, and it continued, and we won and won and won. You know, so Jim Kelly and those guys were the building blocks. Well, they were the original building blocks, and we were the new building blocks, and it continues to grow.
Alonzo Highsmith, he is a UM Sports Hall of Famer. Alonzo, enjoy the game tomorrow, man. I hope the U can get their first win over Notre Dame in a very, very long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. They've had our number the last few times. So I went to the game a couple of years ago in Chicago, and they kind of beat us pretty good and thought we had a chance last year to beat them, but the game slipped out of our hands. But you know what? These kids, the thing I like about this team here is, you know, I'm not into, you know, what I did. I've never been into that. My time was there, and my time is gone. But the thing I'm embracing in Miami now is I love the attitude of these kids here. They're not playing for me. They're not playing for Jim Kelly. They're not playing for the past. They're playing for themselves and building an identity for themselves and building their own legacy. And that's what I like to see. You know, anytime you start rehashing the past, I've always thought it was a losing formula. Mm. You respect the past, you understand the past, but off of the past, you have to build your own legacy. You have to build your own footsteps, walk through, build your own mountain to climb. And I think that's what these kids are doing.
And tomorrow night is a huge part of that. 8 p.m., 7th-ranked Miami, 3rd-ranked Notre Dame. Alonzo Highsmith, thank you so much for taking the time. That was fantastic.
All right, you guys, take care.
Man, such a wealth of knowledge. When you talk to these players, when you talk to guys who lived through that Notre Dame rivalry, who, like Alonzo, were part of national championships, and he was part of that first national title. He was part of that original Hurricanes dynasty. And I thought it was great what he said there at the end of it, that you need to respect the past, but you also need to build your own identity. 2017 Canes, they cannot pretend to be the 83 or 87 Canes. They need to do it their own way, but they also need to be aware of those that were there before. We're going to get the Notre Dame side of things. We're going to talk with Tim Brown, Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner. We're going to talk with Tim Brown, a Notre Dame Fighting Irish legend, when we come back. But I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. Quarterdeck is a great spot to watch that game tomorrow if you can't be at the stadium. Of course, we want to see you out there at Hard Rock, but every big game that's on, pro, college football, NBA, hockey, everything is at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. It's such a great place to watch a game because they have the flat-screen, high-definition TVs covering every wall. The food is delicious. I love the seafood at the Quarterdeck, the world-class sushi, the oysters, the Maine lobster, the shrimp. I love the buffalo shrimp there. The chicken wings are delicious at the Quarterdeck. I love to build my own burger with tons of fresh toppings. The baby back ribs are tender. Meat falls off the bone, but you want to save room for dessert, because the key lime cheesecake, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And you wash all of it down with the 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. I love the 2-for-1 margaritas. They have a spirit master at the Quarterdeck concocting these amazing craft cocktails. You will not be disappointed, I promise you. And if you want to find your location, oh, and by the way, watch every UFC pay-per-view fight for no cover charge at the Quarterdeck. How good is that? You want to find your location by visiting quarterdeckrestaurants.com, because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
It is so great on a week like this and on a day like this, a little over 24 hours before, Miami and Notre Dame. And this one, it feels so much more special than last year, for example, given that you have number 7 against number 3, college football playoff implications, to be able to talk to people who were part of that rivalry in the 1980s, like Alonzo Highsmith, who joined us in the previous segment, and now a Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner, 1987, Tim Brown of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Of course, we have to get the Notre Dame side of things as well. Tim Brown joins us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Tim, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I guess if for the Miami folks, I would have been their fourth receiver on that team that year, not the Heisman Trophy winner. So
that's true.
That's what Jimmy Johnson said about me. So, it probably is some truth to that. With Michael Irving and Brett Perriman and Brian Blades, you know, who knows? So that's what Jimmy said.
You know, it's funny.
How's it going, Alex?
Oh, I'm doing so well, Tim. I'm doing so well. And it's funny, you bring up Jimmy Johnson, who, of course, he was such a character, such a part of that rivalry, and Canes mm-hmm. fans always think about Lou Holtz on the other side of that. Did you ever experience anything in your football career, pro or college? Did you ever experience anything like the Miami-Notre Dame rivalry of the 80s?
No, you know, and unfortunately, you know, my 2-3 years, it was heavy, it was heavy Miami. You know, we were just, you know, it was the last couple of years of Jerry Fouts and the first couple of years of Lou Holtz. So for us, it was all about trying to compete with these guys. And, you know, I felt my senior year, we did a good job competing with them. I think we lost 20-6 down there in Miami. You know, we felt like we had come a long ways from where we were a couple of years ago. And we lost, obviously, 51-3 or whatever it was down there. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think we knew we could compete with those guys. And the guys the next year in 88 just took it to the next level.
You know, you talked, Tim, there about competing against Miami. It almost makes it sound like Notre Dame players sort of measured themselves by Miami, and I'm sure a lot of that happened on the other side as well. Did you feel like that rivalry made you a better player?
Well, you know, I think when you look at what the University of Miami had done at that time, they had won at least one national championship, I'm sure, and they were either playing for the national championship or right there every year, you know, to play for the national championship. So if you're going to measure yourself by a team, you certainly want to measure yourself by a team that is competing and have the opportunity every year to play for the national championship. So, you know, I think if Notre Dame, if we were doing that, that was a good thing for us. Now, personally, for me, you know, those guys changed the way I played the game. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there were some things that happened in my freshman year when we were playing the University of Miami, when we had a big lead at halftime and they came back and just trounced us in the second half. And I got a chance as a young freshman to go out and get some mop-up time. And, man, I got hit over the middle by Bain and Fullington. Those cats were standing on me talking about my mom and my dad. I was like, how do they know my mom and my daddy name?
Oh, so they actually knew the names? They did research?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were saying Josephine and UG. It was like, how in the world?
Were you much of a trash talker, Tim? Were you much of a trash talker, or did you not take part in that?
Not at all. But that all changed after that game, Alex, because I realized that, you know, I could be a nice guy off the football field, but on the football field, you have to push a little switch, and you know, you have to change a little bit, and just, you know, you couldn't be the guy receiving all that and not giving it back. So yeah, it definitely changed the way I played the game, and I realized that my dad, you know, throughout my NFL career, used to tell my mom, "You may act like you off the field, but on the field, you act like me now," you know, and that was really because of, you know, my time playing at the University of Miami.
You know, this rivalry, there have been documentaries made about it, the Catholics versus Convicts 30 for 30, and even the U documentary, the U Part 1, of course, a prominent part of that was Miami and Notre Dame. Do the documentaries, do they feel accurate? Because in watching those, Tim, and in living through that rivalry as a fan, it seemed like just every moment it felt like a fight could break out at any second.
Yeah, you know, it was high intensity stuff. There's no doubt about it, man. You know, I think, you know, when you look at the Catholics versus Convicts, you know, I got a group of Notre Dame guys, and one of my Notre Dame guys was saying he's from Miami, and he was saying that a lot of his folks don't like the fact that the Miami guys are being called convicts. But what I had to remind him of, back in that day, back in the 80s and early 90s, Miami guys called themselves convicts. Almost. I mean, they would get off the plane with fatigues and six shooters and all that kind of stuff. So all the Miami guys I know, and I know a lot of these guys because, you know, either do Pro Bowls or Hall of Fame or whatever, whatever, they don't look at this as being that's who they were back in the day. Not convicts, but at the same time, you know, they played the bad guy role. So that's how they intimidated folks. So, you know, so I got Notre Dame guys, you know, who are picking up or looking out for these Miami guys, man. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think guys really want to fight, but at the same time, you didn't want to back down from a fight.
That's a great point.
If a fight came your way, you had to fight, you know?
We are joined here by Pro Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish receiver Tim Brown is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. And, you know, Tim, I give a lot of respect. I'm impressed with Notre Dame, the turnaround from last year, tough season last year at 4-8. At this time a year ago, Brian Kelly was on the hot seat, and then all of a sudden he made a lot of changes on his staff, and Notre Dame is number 3, and they're in that college football playoff picture. What have you made of that turnaround from one year to the next?
Well, I tell you what, man, even this offseason, you know, I did a couple things with the team and went up and spoke to the team and had a chance to speak to a lot of coaches, and they were really pinpointing the Georgia game. It felt like if they competed well in that game, then they had a chance to have a very successful season. But if they didn't, then it would be tough, you know, to come back and play their schedule the way it was. And I think because, obviously, you know, 2019 really having a chance to go win the game at the end of the day, but it came up short, but knew that they had a chance to win a game. And I really think that changed the season for the Irish. You know, I think they feel as if now that they can compete against anybody. And if you can compete against one of the best teams in the SEC, certainly you should be able to compete against anybody else in college football. So I think from that standpoint, everybody's riding high, and the USC game obviously gave these guys a little bit more confidence. And so I think they come into this game thinking, okay, if we do what we're supposed to do and protect the football, don't give up multiple big plays. You don't give up some big plays in Miami. That's just the name of the game. But you can't give up 3, 4, 5 big plays. If they can do that, I think they have a chance to come away with the victory.
Tim, I read something about you in a bio that I found to be fascinating, but I want to make sure this is true. Is it true that in your freshman year of high school, you didn't play football, but you were in the band?
Well, I did play freshman football, but I was in the varsity band for the varsity. Yeah,
so. See, that makes a little more sense, because what I read was that your parents didn't allow you to play football that year. But it's hard to believe that, you know, you're a Pro Football Hall of Famer now and that you couldn't even play back then.
Yeah. I started playing in the seventh grade. My mom just never knew I was playing. My dad was doing all the stunts, even though, you know, they were married and sleeping together. You know, he would all, hey, just between me and you. This is between me and you.
See, that's an even better story. I think that's better than you not being allowed to play football. You were playing football and your mom didn't know about it?
Right. And she didn't find out till my sophomore year when, as a sophomore, I was playing varsity and had a couple of good games. And, you know, if you're in Dallas, Texas, and you're playing good football, you end up on the front page of the sports page. And even at the sophomore, that happened. And a lot of her friends called her, yeah, your son's in the paper. And she thought I got into trouble. So she was looking in, like, the life section and the front page. I said, Mom, you probably need to look at the sports page. And there I was, a big article about Tim Brown's sophomore sensation or something like that. So
when she realized you were good, was she okay with it?
She wasn't happy.
Oh, she was? So even knowing you're a good player, she wasn't happy about it.
Oh, no, she wasn't happy at all. No. I mean, when I got when Notre Dame came up to recruit me, they said one of the things that they, you know, at Notre Dame, if you got to practice 1 week, but after that 1 week, if you decide that you don't want your scholarship anymore, they look at it as an academic scholarship, not an athletic scholarship. And I had a guy who came from Dallas that year who did this, who played 1 week, and then he quit the team, but he kept his scholarship. So my mom was like, oh, great, Timmy, all you got to do is play 1 week, and then you can go get in the band or something. So, and look, she did this throughout my whole career. Every year she would ask me, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Can you quit now? So, you know, that went on for 17 years in the NFL, too. So
that is so great. Well, what a story. Tim Brown, of course, a legend of Notre Dame football, legend in the National Football League as well, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Tim, I can't thank you enough for taking the time. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Hey, will do, guys. Appreciate your time.
That's fantastic, man. What a story there that, you know, he was so good at football, yet he had to hide it from mom because mom didn't want him out there, too dangerous. And even after she realized what a good player he was, that is so great. Oh, man. Yeah, I was out on campus today in Coral Gables, had a chance to stop by the College Game Day set, do some interviews, man. I caught up with Reese Davis, David Pollock. We'll hear from the two of them when we return. Throwing some respect at Miami football. For a second, I thought Pollock was throwing a little shade, but he came around. You'll hear those conversations next here on WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader. 25 years and counting.
Miami Sports Radio,
the Florida Panthers and Buffalo Sabres coming up at 7 o'clock tonight here on this radio station. I was down on campus earlier today, got to catch up with some of the members of the ESPN College Game Day crew. Here is a conversation that we, the media, had with David Pollock.
So, you ain't lying.
So, David, aside from the heat, what do you think of the campus and the setup here?
Well, I just got here a little while ago, but it's pretty cool. I'm excited to see the scene tomorrow. Tomorrow will always tell. We've had some sick scenes this year. We've had some really, really good ones, so it'll be fun. But the weather definitely is cool. We're going jet skiing later. That'll be fun. So that doesn't usually happen. I promise you, up north. Let's see, I was in Bristol on Tuesday to do the ranking show, and it was about 30-something degrees, so just a little different.
Talk a little bit about the journey for both of these programs to get here. Obviously, Miami has been trying to get back to prominence for a long time. Notre Dame 4-8 last year. To be able to be in November in a matchup between two top 10 teams, would that have been surprising to you a few weeks ago to think about?
If you asked both these coaches before the season, to be honest, and ask them if they'd have been here, they'd have taken it. They'd have both said yes. And they can lie to you all they want to, but neither one expected to be this point. It's a huge they did it. I mean, the coaches, you know, Brian Kelly, the way he changed, hiring 18 new staff members, firing his OC, his DC, his strength and conditioning staff, and you know, really, I have a lot of respect for people that change before it's too late. A lot of people change when you get fired, but to have that change when you didn't get fired and things didn't go well, but you turned it around, and it's been really cool to see Notre Dame's resurgence. And then Coach Rick coming down, obviously, if you told him this point in this year where he'd be right here, he'd say the same exact thing. He'd take it. Still very young, obviously, still a team that I think can have a lot of success in the future as well. But both these teams, you got to say a lot about the coaches, and you got to say a lot about the belief to turn it around with the players this quickly.
Are you aware of how long it's been since game day's been at Miami? Never on campus before, but at the Orange Bowl about over a decade ago.
Really? Yeah. Well, I did not know that. Yeah. So I know I've never been here. I've been on the show for, I guess this is my 7th year. So that's usually the way I judge it. If I haven't been to a place, it's been a while. So it's been a hot minute.
How exciting do you think it's going to be on Saturday, first time on campus?
I don't know. Y'all are going to answer that. We're going to see whether Miami's for real, if the fan base is going to come out. I mean, that's what's always fun to see, man, is you see the passion of the fans. And going to Virginia Tech and TCU, and it just, the scenes were unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. So they got some living up to do with all the fans that we've seen this year.
Why do you think this show has become so popular, and you know, the crowds that it attracts and all
it's
that?
Definitely because I'm on it. No, I'm just kidding. I think just doing a live show, you know, coming, this is very cheesy because it's our intro, but coming to your city, you know, coming to where you're at and bringing the show, I think is very unique, very cool. And listen, this is what makes it fun for us. A live show like this, there's nothing like it. It's just, it makes you feel like you're playing football again, you know, in front of an audience, in front of a crowd, and some of them, just like real football, some of them like you, some of them don't, and that's okay.
Do you think Miami as a team is for real? I know that last week was a wake-up call for a lot of people.
Well, that's because the four games before that, it wasn't a wake-up call. It was ugly. And Miami fans get upset, and that's fine. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. But last week, they actually showed me something. Last week showed me – now, listen, Rozier made big mistakes still, and he does that this week. You think he's going to lose, but defensive front seven's dirty, man. I like it. you know, it's one thing. They bring it every week. It's fun to watch. The linebackers will smack you in the grill. I love that. Old school football. Defensive line. First of all, the best D-line coach in the country is probably Kuligowski. I mean, he's by far, he's hands down one of the best. And so I think you believe in him more and more. But it's just like the committee. You got to earn it, dude. I mean, you don't earn it when you play poorly against North Carolina. You don't earn it when you play poorly against those four games in a row weren't high caliber games, and you put together another performance like that. It doesn't. You know what? At this point now, though, it's just winning. I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter if you win ugly this week, you beat a good team ugly. Who cares? If it's 20-19, it doesn't matter. If it's 17-14, it doesn't matter. I think just keep winning, and then you could play. Have a chance to play Clemson in the ACC championship game. Everything's in front of you.
Do you expect to see the winner of this matchup in the college football playoff?
I think if Notre Dame wins, they're going to be in. I don't think Stanford. Listen, I had Stanford as a Final Four team to start the year, and I punted on them a long time ago before this past week's loss. I mean, they're not a good football team. So I think Notre Dame, if they win, they'll be in. Miami having to play Clemson, that's still a very, very tall task.
Well, let's end it here to make sure we hit the game on time. It's pretty funny way to end the segment there from Pollock to say. I don't think he thinks Miami has a chance against Clemson, even if they beat Notre Dame this weekend. I would beg to differ. Florida Panthers, Buffalo Sabres coming up. Doug Plagans will join me next. We'll get you ready for the puck drop. Panthers in Buffalo right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.